Thank you for your spirit within us and your hand on us. Thank you for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words I speak into the hearts and lives of these your people, into these precious sheep and little lambs, so that we may grow thereby, that we may be enriched by the word of life.
Yes.
And as we break this bread of life together, may we see what we need to see. May we hear what we need to hear. May it become real to our hearts. Again, far beyond the words that I speak, we want the words that you speak to our hearts, Father. I thank you that people in this place shall receive their healing while the word's going forth. I thank you that we shall receive our needs met, that we'll be open to the anointing and the presence of God in this place. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. I empty myself, Lord God, of me. Decrease that you may increase and speak a word in due season. Only what you would have me say. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. And everyone said in agreement.
Amen.
Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was in the prayer room and Teresa prayed this prayer, and that the noise, with the extra noise would just decrease. And I was having noise in my head, just noise. And I knew when I got up here, it was going to be filtered out. And I knew when I got up here, there's an anointing here. There's an anointing for you, whatever you do. If you walk where God has led you to. I didn't know that was going to rhyme. That was nice. Poetry can come from the soul, but it can come from the heart. So when we spend time with God, there's some amazing things that can happen if we'll just listen. I loved it today. We sat and listened. I love to go out in my backyard and look at the mountains and listen. Just what are you saying, God? Look at the trees. What are you saying? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to my heart? Hallelujah. I was about to say this is not in your notes, but you don't have notes. 1 John chapter 4, Pam, we're going to do something a little different. I want you to see something here. 1 John 4, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord has ministered some vital things to me recently, for me. 1 John 4, verse 4, from the King James. I know, we're going to go to 1 John 4 now. I'm sorry, Pam. 1 John 4, 4. Let's just... I love Pastor Scott's presentation. You know, I mean, what knowledge of the Word. What a Berean of the Word. And I had to come to really figure out, you know, you don't need to be jealous of that, Bert. You just need to enjoy that and receive from that. I love Dan's perspective of the Old Testament. I love his heart, the Father's heart, the shepherd's heart. And I had to say, I'm not to be jealous of that. But I look through a microscope many times, and I see little tiny things that sometimes we omit. I think God leads that in me in my life. And like one minister said, he gets on me, I get on you. So that's what I want to do. I just want to show you one little thing here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Talking about evil spirits and demons and different spirits in the world. He's talking about here. You have. Everybody say have.
Amen.
Have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They, the next verse is, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. And my expanded version says, but we are of God, and we speak the word. They speak the world. We speak the word. You are of God. Close your eyes for a minute and say, I'm of God.
I'm of God.
I'm God's child.
I'm God's child.
We are of God. You can open your eyes now. And have overcome. Look at the person beside you and say, that's past tense. We have overcome. We have overcome. Now, 1 John chapter 5. We'll go to that. I'm not going to go into deep stuff here today. I just want you to we're just going to skim through some things. I want you to see a couple of things today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. The Lord led me to this scripture a couple of weeks ago, and I just started meditating on it, and it really ministered to me. And it's helped me. For whatsoever is born of God, everybody say born of God. Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he just talked about you are of God. When we have Christ in our heart, is basically what he's saying there, you're of God. You're born of God. I'm born of God. See, this means a lot to me. I was adopted in the natural. I don't know my birth mother or my birth father. So I latch on to my father God, even though I had great adopted parents. I think about my father God more than I do my birth parents. You understand?
Yes.
And more than I do my adopted parents. I'm born of God. God is my father. You are born of God and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you want a place to meditate, if you want a place to restart or jumpstart your meditation, 1 John 4:4 is a good place to start. You are of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The first time I meditated on a verse, I did that. I started at that verse, and I just passed out. Just went to sleep. And I woke up, and I think that's where this practice in me started. I got very still. Many times when I wake up, when we wake up at our house, Joanne's out of the bed, jumping up and down, praising God, running up and down the house, and I'm going, huh? It's just we're very opposite in that way. We're very much alike in some ways, but very opposite in some ways. And that's one way. I'm a morning person. I am not until this summer, and I've been getting up earlier than she has. Some of the time. Waking up. But I started this practice, I believe, then. It just now hit me. I sat in this chair and meditated on that verse, and when I woke up, I just sat very quietly, very still. And it became real inside of me. I'm of God. I've overcome evil spirits.
That's right.
Because greater is he that's in me, not me, but he that's in me,
yes, than
he that's in the world. It's a good place to start. Now, 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, and that's us, overcomes. Now we've got to talk about present tense. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I want to talk today about the victory is faith. The victory is faith. It's a little unusual. God speaks to me grammatically almost backwards of the way some things are written, but the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. You would probably say that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But the way it's worded here is the way I kind of started meditating on it. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. The victory that overcometh the world. So if you're going to keep notes, you can put down 1, 2, and 3. I went to a church, grew up in a church. It was 3 points in a poem, and we talked about the Carolina-Clemson game because we lived in South Carolina. You don't have to do that. But number one is the victory is faith. The victory. Everybody say the victory is faith.
The victory is faith.
So if you say it that way, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, or the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So I got to thinking about that, meditating on it, and I thought, well, what's the opposite of faith?
Fear.
The reciprocal of faith is fear. Faith activates God the same way fear activates Satan. So fear is the defeat that overcomes you. The defeat that overcomes you is
fear.
All right. So, fill in the blank. Fear is the defeat. The defeat is fear. Fill in the blank. Fear is the
defeat.
The defeat is
fear.
Faith is the
victory.
The victory is
faith.
All right. Good News Translation. Every child of God is able to defeat the world.
That's right.
And we win the victory over the world by means of our faith.
Yes.
The MID translation is mine. I always say it's a shorter version, but it's a lot of power in it. The Midget translation says, for a world, sense realm. I mean, there's all sorts of definitions we could say for the world, but for me, that's what... you can meditate on a verse and it can come out four or five or many, many different ways as it applies to your life in different times and circumstances. But right now, as I'm meditating on this, this is what it means. Every child of God is able to defeat the world now, presently. Why? Because you are of God and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.
Right.
I'm not struggling to overcome. I already have overcome, therefore I overcome now. Back up, if just would, Pam. You're getting ahead of me. You're right on target with me, but wait just a minute. And we win the victory over the world, over the sense realm. Everybody say sense realm.
Sense realm.
By means of our faith. Now, Pam. The tense of the verb here is has overcome. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Well, Christ overcame the world system, didn't he? So if he did and I'm in him, then therefore I have. Hallelujah. And therefore I am. Look at the person and say you have and therefore you am. You am overcoming it. I am overcoming it. Young's literal translation says, this is the victory that did overcome the world, our faith. Well, yeah, but Bert, it doesn't look like it. God gave me this is so cool, I wrote it down. I'm hanging around you too much. This is the way that what happens. You get this stuff and you start writing it out. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like my faith's working. Well, then guess what? We're looking through the wrong eyes.
That's right.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith takes the promises of God, of who the believer is in Christ, and pulls them into the present when we realize what's already happened in the spirit realm. Christ's work is finished. Your healing has been paid for. You were healed. Not going to be, not hope so, no, not I don't see it, so it must not be so. No, it was done, and you were healed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it's up to us to appropriate it, receive it, activate it, demonstrate it, prove it. Faith brings into the natural and claims the victory that's already yours. So my question is, what are you waiting for? That's what God asked me. What are you waiting for? That's why faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Demons, senses, sense knowledge, reasoning, sickness, disease, poverty, mental challenges, depression, relationship issues, and anything else in the sense realm, because Christ already defeated those things and our faith in Christ taps into this victory. Our faith in Christ taps into His victory.
Yes.
Faith is the victory that overcomes the lies of the enemy in this world system. Will we live by the world system or the Word system? Which one are you going to live by?
Right.
Which one? The world or the Word? Tell me.
Word.
The Word. So what's your choice? My choice is the Word system. My choice is to make the faith connection, to take what's in the realm of the Spirit that I can't see. My healing is out there. I can't see it. I can't grasp it with the natural five physical senses. We're so sense-oriented. I'm very touch-oriented. When I play a bass, when I drive a car, when I paddle a boat, when I pick up something, I'm very touch-oriented. This morning I washed my hands and the water was warm, and I thought, I don't like that. It's nice, but right now I don't like it. I turned the water to when it's cold, and it was refreshing on my fingers. You may say, you are weird. Yes, I know. It doesn't matter. It's senses. But the spirit realm is more real than this.
Yes.
And what the problem is, we look to this realm, and when I've tried to walk in faith, I'm looking at this, I'm looking too much at the natural senses.
Yes.
The five physical senses, I'm looking too much at this realm here. I need to get away from looking at that and walk by faith and not by natural sight, walk by the faith of the unseen. Faith in seeing the unseen.
Yes.
Write that down, somebody. I want to read that later. Faith in seeing the unseen. And bringing that over into the natural realm. Now, you may say, well, I've tried that. Well, I know that. I've tried it too, and I've failed miserably many times. But that doesn't stop me from going after it.
That's right.
My dad used to say, people would come to him and say, but Al, I tried that tithing stuff. He said, it's not. That's not what the Bible says. Don't try it, do it. Faith. What's holding me back? What's holding me back, God? Is it the devil? Well, yeah, he's throwing stuff, and there are stuff he throws at. But they're blocks to healing. They're blocks to receiving. It's my unrenewed mind, the portion of my mind that's not renewed to the Word. Mind renewal equals spirit dominion. I don't know how long I'll be at this church, but from every time I get an opportunity to stand up, probably going to say a couple of things. Number one, you're a threat to the devil.
Right.
You're a threat. That's why you're getting bombarded so much with all the junk that he's trying to send. Don't you understand that? You haven't. When you come to realize the threat you are of who the believer is in Christ and what he's provided for you, you're not going to step back anymore and be afraid of him.
Right.
You don't have to be afraid of him. Are you getting anything out of this, or am I just the only one up here? I'm just having fun here. This is good. I'm honored by the opportunity to share. It's not the devil. It's my unrenewed mind. Jesus asked his disciples. Jesus is with them. He says, how is it that you have no faith? Basically, he's saying to you, I'm the living Word. I'm speaking, and you're hearing, and that's how faith comes, disciples, you, me. So he's speaking the Word of God. He's speaking through the Word of God, and we're to hear it. That's how faith comes. Here it is. It's the Word. It's a covenant.
Yes.
You hang around Jerry long enough, he'll start preaching covenant to you. Because that's what happened to him. He's not here, but maybe you won't hear this. But when he was in the world, you know, Jerry's a very different person. Yeah. Jerry and I have become good friends. We are very opposite. Very, very opposite. I'll stop there. But he told this testimony to me. I really wouldn't mind me sharing it. Even if he does, he's not here. Jerry had a problem with alcohol. I don't know if you know that or not. He had a very bad problem with alcohol. And he would go to bed on a weekend or every night or whatever nights he drank, and he would just go to bed with the TV on a certain channel. All right? And, I mean, he'd pass out, is what I'm trying to say. Are you listening to me? He woke up the next morning, and the TV was on a different channel with Kenneth Copeland preaching at him. Covenant. Not just one time. This happened consistently. And so you can't get covenant out of Jerry. He's got a covenant with Almighty God. Your TV starts changing channels, man, you're going to get my attention too. Fear is the defeat. The defeat is fear. Fill in the blank. Fear is the
defeat.
The defeat is
fear.
Faith is the victory. The victory is faith. God was trying to get this across to me. I felt like I was failing in my faith. I felt like I was defeated in my faith in certain areas, even little areas. And I would say, but God, I believe you, I love you, I trust you. And this came back to me. Meditate on this, Bert. Think about this. Think about this. The victory is faith. If you want victory, you've got to operate in faith. And it's simple. It's not even your faith. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Actually, in the original language, it means have the faith of God. It's not even my faith. Just receive it. So I said, well, faith is a gift. Hey, faith is the... I'm glad you asked that question. Well, is it a gift? Wait. Hebrews 11:1. Look at that. Number two, faith sees reality. If you're keeping notes, faith sees reality. Everybody say that. Faith sees reality. Now, we've taught on this, but listen with new ears. Amplified. We know the King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or gives substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith, Amplified says, is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. I think when Pastor and his wife were out of town a couple of years ago, I shared that, and I brought a deed for a car and some keys, and I gave Jerry the deed, and I said, okay, the car is yours. Do you have it? Well, no, I've got the title deed. Okay, well then I gave him the keys, and I said, now go act on it. You've got to act. There's a part you play in faith. It's called action. Now, faith is the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
Don't lose your hope. Please don't lose your hope. Please don't lose your hope. Being the proof of things we do not see. I cannot see them in the natural, yet faith is the proof of things. The title deed. This is promising something for me. I can have this is in here. The proof of things I do not see is my faith. My faith is that. And the conviction, the firm, the word conviction means firm belief or opinion. The firm belief of their reality. It's real, whether I see it in the natural or not, I see it. I'm convinced that it's there. Now, the other morning, I woke up and I got very still. And this is what I try to do. I wake up and I just get real still and listen. And up out of my spirit came this translation, this phrase. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And I said, okay. Faith perceives real fact in the realm of the spirit, because the spirit man, the spirit is real, what is not revealed to the senses. The spirit world is more real than the natural world, because the spirit world, God, in the spirit world, God's a spirit and he created the natural world. Are you listening to me? Did you hear that? Don't let it pass you by. The spirit world is more real. But many of us as believers make the natural world more real than the spirit world. So God's been, maybe he's been on me about this. You've got to get more aware of the spirit world than you are the natural world. Somebody says, well, if you're no, are you, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I don't know anybody like that. Do you really know anybody who's so heavenly minded? They want more of God, the heavens to come down on them, that they're no earthly good? No. If you are heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. If you think about it that way, somebody say amen. Yes, amen. Somebody say, well, I don't agree. Well, you just be quiet then. I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be spiritually minded. I want to be aware. I want to be aware of things. I had a man step out of a truck this week. I looked at him. I said a couple of words to him. And he looked at me and he says, I'm dying. Now, what do you do with that? You pass it off and keep doing business with him? He said, I was sick all night. I said, okay, God, I got it. I don't have a kidney. They removed my kidney. I don't know if that makes any sense. He said, all the toxins are going in my body. I said, are you on dialysis? No, they can't do dialysis. I'm dying. I'm dying. He kept saying, I'm dying. And inside of me, it just rose up. Glory to God, you don't have to right now. What do you do with that? You do something. You don't step back and say, well, that's nice. Now let's go talk business over here. No. I said, well, I thought I was coming out here to talk business with you. I said, I think I need to pray for you. He said, would you? I said, yes, sir. And the guy behind him was this black brother. I didn't know he was a Christian. He said, amen, we pray every day. I said, all right, praise God, let's go. So we had a prayer meeting. I walked in, he said, come in my office. Come here, sit down, come here. I said, okay. This is not rocket science. A four-year-old can do this. It's not hard. I was intimidated by it. My wife would go out and she'd see somebody walking by in a wheelchair. She'd say, hey, how are you doing? I'm going, oh, God, don't do that. One time she hurt her knee before we came to this church. She hurt her knee, and I had to push her around in a wheelchair for a week till we could get x-rays. And by the way, her ACL was torn now, and that God healed it. Hallelujah. I love talking to the surgeon about that. But anyway, pushed her in a wheelchair, and these people look at me like, oh. And then they look up at me and go, oh, that's so sad. Your wife's in the, is that going to be the rest of your life? I'm sure they're thinking, what disease does she have? And I push her in. She's having fun. Where was I? Ann, do you remember? What was I talking about? The man. Oh, so we had a prayer meeting and we prayed over the guy. So I called new kidneys, functional new kidneys in his body. Why not?
Right.
Now, I don't know where his faith is, but I can tell you this. The wall of religion was staring me in the face when I prayed for this guy.
I'm sure it was.
And part of my flesh wanted to say, look, if you... Never mind. I won't say that. I won't tell you what I thought. Yeah, well. I thought, if you don't get your faith in gear, buddy, you're going to die. So I'm going to have faith for you. I'm going to believe God. And I just kept praying. And the guy, when we got through praying, the guy behind me, his assistant, said, thank you for that prayer. We pray every morning. I thought, you already told me that. Here, we do it. We love it. You know, he's just excited about God. Faith is to convict, perceives as real fact what is not revealed to my senses. It's firmly holding on to it. So, somebody said this, and Joanne wrote it down on my computer or my desk, says, quit telling God how big your mountain is and start telling your mountain how big your God is. I know you've heard that before. I thought that was pretty good. She put this on my desk. God didn't send cancer to teach you a lesson. He sent Jesus to teach cancer a lesson. I like that. Yes. So fear is the defeat. Fear is the defeat is faith is the victory is,
faith.
You got it. Number three, pray that your faith fail not. These are light, momentary afflictions. If you really get right down to it, surely you don't think all we get is a 80 to 100 or 60 or 100 or whatever years on this planet, you know, revolving around the sun, and that's it. That's just part of what we're doing. That's just part. You were in the heart of God before you ever got here. And when you leave here, man, well, it's going to be a blast. If you think Greg can play the violin now, wait till we get up there.
Yeah, really.
Praise God. I thought, Lord, I don't do 3 points, but this third point, pray your faith fail not. And the scripture, I put these tapes in from 20 years ago that I was preaching, and it's jumped off, it's like jumped out of the speakers at me. Exodus chapter 10, look at that, Exodus chapter 10, verse 20 through 23. We could go into all sorts of stuff, but here we go, we're just looking at snippets. But the Lord hardened or allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Exodus 10, 20. Verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness, somebody say darkness, over the land of Egypt, even darkness, somebody say darkness,
darkness,
which may be felt, everybody say felt.
Felt.
And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick, everybody say thick,
thick
darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, a thick darkness that could be felt. Have you ever experienced that? You walk into a place, man, you're just walking, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, so what is this? You can feel it. Let's take a natural example. I used to dabble in photography a good bit, and when I was in high school, I had a dark room. In college, I had a little dark room. And you'd cut the light off to load, boy, I'm going to say the word film. Some of the people here don't even know what film is. Y'all are digital. But I'm an analog man in a digital world, okay? So I'm loading the film on the canister, and it was so dark I would just close my eyes because I couldn't tell what I was doing anyway. So, and you would load it a certain way. One time I loaded it in, got it, pulled it out, and I hadn't loaded it. I'd loaded the paper off the film. I thought, something's wrong. Anyway, you load the film, and then you put it in the canister, and you close the canister before you can pour the chemicals in to develop the negatives, and then you can turn the light on. When you'd cut that light off to start that process, you could put your hand right in front of your face. You could not see anything. You could feel the darkness. So the Egyptians are feeling the darkness. It's thick. But look at what the next verse says, verse 23. They saw not one another. They couldn't see each other. Neither rose from any of them his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Message translation says, they had light where they were living. Knox, Ronald Knox says, wherever the sons of Israel dwelt, the light shone. Wherever you, the Son of God, who is in you, wherever you, as a child of God, a son or daughter of God, dwell, there shall be light in your dwelling. When you go into darkness, there will always be the light of life. But what are you going to do to activate it? How many people have you won to Jesus lately? Oh, I feel conviction. Oh, Brother Bert, I feel darkness coming on. God asked me this. Have you led anybody to me lately? Have you led anybody to the Lord lately? I'm going, oh. I said, but I'm open, God. I'm here. I want to do this again. One of the greatest joys after receiving Jesus as your Lord is leading somebody else to Him.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I mean, we've had the opportunity in upper basketball programs we did. I mean, one time there were like 450 or 500 kids in this program in Somerville, First Baptist Church, Somerville. I went down there, and I had an altar call, and Joey Turner prayed for me before we went down there, and over 200 kids stood up to receive Jesus as their Lord.
Yes.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Now, maybe some of them already knew that, knew Jesus, didn't know what they were doing. You know, they wanted to get saved again. I don't know, whatever the case is. But I've seen that happen over and over and over and over. People, just one-on-one. So I came in a situation where I was in this club, and this kid came in the club, and he was from China. His name is Haimo. You want to pray for somebody? Pray for Haimo. Haimo came in to Greenville, South Carolina, was a graduate student. He went to graduate school, he graduated, and he was trying to find a job. And Haimo came in and was talking to me, and I heard him say this one time at dinner one night. He says, I'm blessed. I went, okay. Now, in the South, That's a term we use a lot of times as a Christian.
Right.
Fast forward, he goes to Detroit, Ann Arbor, Michigan area to get a job. He goes up there to get a job and his car dies on him. So in this club, we have connections, and so he texts me, he says, I need help. And we got the help for him, blah, blah, blah. Down the road, he sits in Ann Arbor for a week, and he keeps texting me. And I said, well, you know, we're trying to help you. He says, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I thought, this guy must be a believer. But something on the inside of me said he wasn't. So I ended up eating dinner with him, lunch with him recently, as he's leaving to go back to Michigan. And I looked at him and I said, you know, he said it again. He said, I'm blessed. I'm just so blessed to have you as friends. I said, you know, in the South, we use that term as a Christian. He said, yes, I have a lot of Christian friends. I said, good. He said, but I'm not a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Inside of me, I thought, yes, God, I told you. I'm ready. I'm willing. I planted some seed with him that day. Before we left, I put my hand on him and prayed for him. I said, God, he's on his journey to find you, not just to go to Michigan. And the Lord gave me a plan on how to minister to him. God wants you to open your ears and hear, but you've got to use faith to do it. Don't let fear defeat you. Look at the person beside you and say, faith is the
victory.
Look at, tell them, faith is the victory. Luke 22, we'll close. Miracles still happen, the shortest message I've ever preached. Luke 22, 32. Jesus and Peter are talking. Satan would sift you as wheat. We could go, there's so much we could go into, but I want to look at the Amplified. It says, but I have prayed, for, especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And then when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Complete Jewish Bible says, and you, once you have turned back in repentance, strengthen your brothers. Good News says, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. Fear is the defeat. The defeat is, faith is the victory is, he doesn't want his faith to be defeated by fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now listen to me. You don't need to be afraid to step out in faith for what you're believing for. What you need in your life, don't be afraid to step out in faith. Without going into detail, for 8 years I struggled in an area of faith. 8 years and spent money trying to get a healing. Yet I was teaching faith. Charles Capps used to say, I think he had a book, said, I was preaching healing, yet I was sick. I kept doing it. I kept saying it. I kept speaking it. But the spirit of fear would come at me. It would just keep coming at me. And my wife had to walk through this with me. And I came to a place where I walked in an office and a panic attack hit me. This was this year. I've only had two of those in my life. Once when my mother was dying and the hospice nurse had to come take my blood pressure and try to calm me down. And the other was that day. And it hit me and I started shaking and I'm speaking to my body, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to do this. In the name of Jesus. And my mind went crazy and everything in me said, get out of here. Bolt. Get out the door now. But I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I stayed there. I went through the appointment. I walked out. And when I walked out that door, I looked back at the door and I said, that's it. I'm not coming back through you. Not because of fear, but because I know what's inside. I'm tired of it. There's a song Tom Petty, a rock and roller, wrote called Free Fallin'. One of the easiest guitar riffs to play. But in the video, I think, as I recall from a long time ago, he feels he's falling through midair. I don't like heights. I'll never skydive unless somebody pushes me out of the plane. But there are things that I do in life that make me feel free. That's why I love the outdoors so much. I feel free. Floating. There's so many things I enjoy that I feel free on. I hadn't thought of this in a while, but it came to me as an interesting story. You have to understand, in the days that I tell this story, I was out of fellowship with God, not living for Him. Anybody ever been there? Don't you? Yeah. I'd gotten saved when I was 13, but by the time I was 15, 16, it was not the case. I mean, I was not living for God. And I had an old brown Falcon station wagon, and some friends of mine who, we would get in an alternate state of mind. Can I just put it that way? So we would ride on top of that Falcon station wagon because it had a luggage rack, and you could spread eagle yourself and put your hands up here and brace your feet on the corners. And we would go down this hill. I won't tell you what the name of the hill was, but we went down the hill. And it was a steep hill with a person on top of the wagon. I may have told this story right here before. You get to the bottom, and when you come up, the sensation was like you're going to fly. If you let go, you would think at that point in time, that's it, I'm gone. And then the road took a sharp right turn, in which the person on top of the station wagon, had they let go, would have been flung off into the woods. This was in Gaffney. Jesus, help me. So I used to ride people like this. So I said, I need to get up there and experience this. Oh my gosh. The sense of freedom that you had, along with the sense of terror that came at you, I probably need to deal with that before you're here. I hadn't thought about that. Was unbelievable. But you felt a sense of freedom. When you step out in faith, and you know, and you know, and you know, and you're knower. That you've stepped out when Jesus said, Peter, come. One word. He stepped out on that word. When you step out there, you know you're in faith. Fear is gone. And since that day, God has proven His word faithful. Struggle for 8 years, no more. Defeated, feel defeated, feel, you wouldn't believe it. No more. No more.
Draw the line.
That was it. Now, I've done that in other areas of my life, but in this area, I could not get the victory, no matter what I tried, but I wouldn't give up. Right. Some of you feel hopeless. Some of you have tried to give up. Don't do it. Stand on the word. Because faith is the victory is, that's where it comes. That's the way it comes. Joanne, come up here just for a quick second, if you would. Can I have the microphone? Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Fatherhood Coalition, share what happened when you and Maria tried to walk out the door. Listen to this.
Yeah, you remember.
It's on.
Okay. This past Wednesday, Maria was with me, and we had just prayed with a guy who was having a situation with his stepdaughter. But I love Maria. She has such a childlike faith that just those people are so disarmed. Some of them are really hard, and they've been on drugs, and it's just some of them are just really tough people. But she just gets them, they're like jelly when she's around them. It's so neat. But we're walking out the door, and if you've ever prayed for opportunities to pray for people for healing, this was the most, like, handed over on a silver platter. We're trying to get out the door, and there's this redheaded guy standing there hollering at his girlfriend, "I'm sick! I'm sick!" And we can't get by him. So Maria said, "Let us pray for you." And so we pray for this guy. I mean, he was throwing up. He was just, and the first thing is, don't put your hands on him. You might catch what he's got. And I was like, "Oh, shut up, devil." You know, just, but she prayed this beautiful prayer. And he said, thank, because she said, well, of course she asked his permission. He said, anything. So it's like God just dumps stuff in your lap sometime. And yeah, you just got to be available.
Amen. Amen. Anything. I was with a friend. We went north of Charlotte. This week I've prayed for four people. Went north of three people. I have to correct myself. This went to Charlotte. This guy was going to buy a car. So he was looking at a car that this lady owned. So he drove up. We drove up and we got out. And he was going to test drive the car. So I'm standing in this behind in her backyard, kind of. I'm standing there where he's driven the car out. I'm standing there and he drives off. And I'm standing there out with a lady. And she looks at me and she says, "I'm going through a divorce." You ever, anybody remember My Favorite Martian? You know, it's like the antennas go, what? Oh, really? She said, yeah. I said, been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt, burned it. She said, but it's hard. This is really hard. And she just unloads. So he came back. He's dealing with the car. He buys the car. He's driving the car around. I'm supposed to drive his truck home. I got to walk through the yard. And I'm walking through the yard behind her. And she said, oh, I'm just so glad this car sold. I'm glad. She said, I've got these kids. I've got this. I said, been there, done that. I understand that. I said, well, I'm a Christian, and I'll be praying for you. Now, I am a Christian. I'll be praying for you. Let me use that. Nine words. You can make it shorter than that. She turned around and she said, would you? That's how simple this is. If they say, and I said, yes, can we pray now? She said, please do. Right. Now that's all I said. This is not the four spiritual laws. We gotta get out and make sure you go. I just said, okay. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. Well, that makes it easy now, but if she hadn't been, we lead her to the Lord. This is not rocket science. I've said that before. Just be open. Be open. Listen. Now, let me tell you one more story, then we're going to pray. I walked into a restaurant in Columbus this week to meet a friend for lunch. I'm walking in. I'm just being myself. But the Lord kept ministering to me, be aware. Be aware. Be aware spiritually. See, we got to understand that spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. Elderly couple walked in front of me. I opened the door. There was a lady coming in. Elderly lady. She came in. She was shaking. Her hands were shaking. She walked in front of me. She turned around. I had a pair of shoes on, very similar to these, and she said, "Do you like those shoes?" I said, "Yeah." "Are they comfortable?" I said, yeah, they're pretty comfortable, very comfortable. She said, well, I have to wear this pair of shoes, another pair of shoes, because my feet hurt and they're in pain. And my friend walked up to me and got my attention. I missed an opportunity. When you miss God, repent with 1 John 1:9, quit condemning yourself, and let the devil know, you're not going to do that one to me again, buddy. I'm getting you next time. If you had to believe God and something didn't work right in your life, don't condemn yourself. Something didn't work like you thought it should. Don't condemn yourself. Fear is the defeat. The defeat is fear. Faith is the victory. The victory is faith. Stand up if you would. We're going to pray for each other right now.